Verse 19.
For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the... Now you tell me what it is.
Yes.
You got it. Oh, praise the Lord. I can tell I'm teaching this lesson well tonight. Because you're saying it right, and if you can say it right, you've got the context and you understand that it's talking about something we're coming into. Now the next verse 21 is the most perplexing one of all, because it doesn't make sense until you see it in one realm. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the, now this is a hard one, technons of God. And I study and study and study to figure out why that in the future that there's going to be a further liberty, until I realized that it's this glorious liberty. The creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage. What's the bondage of corruption? The law. And if you're delivered from the law, all the creation is delivered from the law. Where do they have to go to next? The technons, which is the gospel of the circumcision, so that then they could go beyond that and finally have the adoption of Philios. So let's keep reading from verse 21, go to verse 23. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the... There it is. The adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. The adoption, the redemption, the manifestation of the Helios will be in the realm of the body at the Feast of
Tabernacles.
For those that can't just respond on these answers, it's because you haven't, you know, been with us long enough, but the teaching is over and over again. And I want to ask a question here. It seems to me that everything I've said here tonight, I've said before. It seems to me everything I've said tonight, I've said before. Now let me ask a question. How many have learned something tonight? Okay, that proves it. You got to say it over and over and over and over and over again. And you got to come at it again and again and again. I asked Jesus about it. I said, Jesus, why is it? I teach the best I can with all the techniques I can. With everything they taught me at IBM, I went to New York University to learn how to teach. And they taught me to teach. And I taught in classes. At IBM, I taught engineers basic principles of electronics. And they were paying those engineers to listen to me. They were paying men while they were paying me. And I'll tell you, IBM expects a good teacher. If, you know, every hour that went by, back then, it cost IBM over $1,000. And if I goofed up an hour, you know what that cost IBM? $1,000. So they wanted me to teach good. And I'm using every one of those teaching techniques on you guys. Wasn't that neat for IBM to teach them to me? So I can use them on you. And then they turn, and I asked God, I said, here I have used all those techniques, teaching the best I can, and they don't understand. And I asked God about it in prayer, and he said, what makes you think that you're any better than I am? Yeah. I had to come right through it, and there's no question in my mind that every day of my life has been ordered. Some sons believe that. There's no question in my life, but every day has been ordered. And since I couldn't afford that, God just had Tom Watson pay. He's the president of IBM. Verse 23, waiting for the adoption, that is, to wit, the redemption of our body. The manifestation, the adoption of the sons of God will be in a physical body realm. 1 Corinthians 15. I feel like I'm in a hurry now, and I'm going to do a little skipping. We'll go to my favorite verse, 15:52. 1 Corinthians 15:52. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you read it to me, at the which trump?
Last
trump. For the trumpet shall sound. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This which is mortal must put on immortality. Now what's corruptible?
Body.
The physical body. What's mortal? Spiritual body. If you're mortal, Are you mortal in your spirit, your soul, or your body? Your body. Mortal means having the power to die. Now, if you change from mortal to immortal, what's that mean?
You cannot die.
Now, if mortal is for the body, do you think immortal is for the body? I do. If corruption is for the body, do you think incorruption is for the body? Absolutely. Because it says we'll be changed. What's going to be changed? The creature, the body. It says very clearly the creature, the body is going to be changed. And it's your physical body. And what's that mean? Well, it means that which that process that goes on in your body right now that makes your hair come out gray and makes your eyes get thicker glasses and all the other things you do, called the bondage of corruption. So, because you're subject to the bondage of corruption, you went to the drugstore. You bought a tube of this and a bottle of that. To color this and glue that. And you bought something to pull this in and push that out. So that you... Because you're subject to the bondage of corruption and you're vain. The Bible calls you vain in Romans 8. It says you're fighting it all the way. And our vanity causes to fight the bondage of corruption all the way. That's what the Bible says. But the creature is going to be delivered from the bondage of corruption. In the incorruption. So then you're going through a reverse of the process. And in the Bible it talks about a reversal of the process. When that process is making you die, it's going to make you live. You don't have to die. You're only dying because you planned on it. As a man thinketh, so is he. When our grandpas were here several thousand years ago, they didn't plan on dying, so they stayed around for 1,000 years. Come on, Bible students. They lived in the physical body for 1,000 years. Come on, Bible students. Tell me they're not, see? But now you're planning on dying. You know why you're planning on dying? Because your daddy planned on dying. Come on now. And you've got 70, maybe 80 years. What did you say?
You're supposed to.
I was reading an article in the National Geographic where they were studying old men. There's an area where they live to be 130, 140 years old. You know that. There are three areas where they live. You know what happened when a man got to be 140? He felt just as good as he did the other day. But now that he was 140, he went to bed and died. You know, there's a lot of men that are 70 years old do the same thing just after they enter retirement. And they tell me retirement's about the worst thing there is for a man. Because what's it do? It gets him ready to die. So a man retires and gets ready to die. Listen, if I could, I'd retire and change jobs quick. You know, get all the money I could from that old job and start another one right away. See? Don't ever, if you're an old man or an old lady, don't sit down and die. Keep going. Because when you decide to sit down and die, that's when you die. So what does it say about Jacob in the Bible? Jacob pulled up his knees in the bed and gave up the... He died. He just... Because he was an old man of his time. Okay? Now, it tells us in 53, this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So, now when the corruptible shall put on incorruption... And the mortal shall put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in
victory.
Now look, I read the last chapter and we win. There's going to be a victory. Oh death, where's thy sting? Oh grave, where's thy victory? The sting of death, he bit you. What was it that bit and caused the sting? Sin. But the strength, the venom, the poison of sin is the bartender. No? The law. It's not the bartender that's going to kill you. It's the condemnation of the law that's going to get you. Oh, by the way, that's not a prophecy. I was just talking to you before you got the word. Now, by the name of Jesus Christ, the law is not going to get you either. You're going to overcome in all areas. You're going to go through a transition, accepting more and more responsibility as you're maturing so that you can come into a manifestation of the sons of God. Then, it will be true, which was written in the Bible, which says, Jesus entered my spirit and I'm saved. The Holy Ghost is going to get finished with my soul and I'll be saved there too. And then the glory of the Father is going to inhabit these physical bodies and I'll be manifest. By the grace of God and all that lies within me, this is where I want to be. I feel healthy. I feel good. I feel that God is more interested in me than just to get my heart. I know He wants my mind. And there's something about me, something basic that says God is more interested in just my mind. He also wants my body. And the Scriptures confirm that which rolls within me. He does want my body. But He doesn't want my body with my present mind. So He says, here's my plan. I'll send my Son, Jesus Christ, and I'll get him hooked in the heart. Then He'll baptize him in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will take the Word of God and hook him in the mind. And over and over and over again, the Holy Ghost will work on their minds until finally they'll have the mind of Christ. Then, after they got the mind of Christ, then I'd like to have their bodies so I can manifest my glory in these physical bodies. Now you know some more about what I pray when I pray that your whole spirit and soul and body will be preserved blameless to the coming of the Lord. I want all the technons here tonight to determine in their heart to not stay adolescent, but to become huios, manifesting sons of God. Will you stand with me and pray? Our Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for eyes that see and ears that hear. We pray for real spiritual eyes and spiritual ears that will increase our understanding and make us see the truth of this lesson. Lord, I forgive. I pray for forgiveness for manifesting my own personality, but You did say that You chose the foolishness of preaching to get these kind of messages across. So, Lord, I pray right now that every word that's been said by David Ebaugh will be forgotten, but those words which have been anointed with the Holy Spirit will remain with us forever. We pray, Lord, that this will be an attitude-changing time, that each one of us will be receiving more and more of the Word of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our minds to change our minds from what we are to what we ought to be. Cause us, Lord, to be led by Your Holy Spirit. And as Your Holy Spirit leads us out of the gospel of the circumcision, we pray that there will be a release of fear, a release of condemnation, a release of those things that would bind us to the gospel of circumcision as we go into the freedom and truth of the gospel of the uncircumcision. We pray that these things will be alive and vital to every person that's here tonight. And now, Lord, we pray that every spirit and every soul and every body will be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. In His name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, I feel a lifting right now. What we'd like to do is invite you to stay for the question and try to answer period. Oh, come on now. Weren't there any questions?
I'm looking at this chart. There's the Son of God, the Son of David, and the Son of Man. Why not think when it says the Son of God, where the Son of God is given the further advance than the Son of Man?
Me too.
Blameless, right?
All right. Every time Jesus refers to the Son of Man, or He refers to something going to happen to His body, the Son of Man will be on the tree, the Son of Man will be in the grave 3 days, the Son of Man will rise again. Everything, every time that the reference to the Son of Man is a reference to the body, every time that there's a reference to the Son of God, it's always to the Spirit. And every time there was a reference to the Son of David, it was for a miracle. They wanted a miracle. So to me, miracle is Pentecost. Son of Man is manifestation. And Son of God is entry into the Spirit. That's why I did it that way. And I follow your logic because I fought with that a long time as to how to list that. Kyrios of God, Kyrios of Man, Kyrios of David. Well, I knew it'd be short, but I didn't know it'd be this short. Okay.
Are the sons of
I don't know. I really don't. Let me go through the file up here a minute. Brrr. I don't know of any scripture. The question for the tape was, are the sons of God, the manifestation of the sons of God just for this age, or will they continue to be manifest during the next ages? And will they continue, I assume, to have jobs and so forth in the ages of ages and beyond? I don't have any answer for that. Tell you what, I'll make a date with you for 1,000 years and we'll talk it over. In 1,000 years from now, okay, you'll be there. All right. We'll meet here in Leo's basement when his house is 1,000 years old. Leo, do you think you'll have the mortgage paper then?
About half.
Okay. About half paid. You understand? Understandest thou all these things? And they said, yea, Lord. And he said unto them, every scribe, therefore, that is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is like unto a householder that brought out of his treasure things both, what? Old and new. Did you hear some old things tonight? Did you hear some new things tonight? Okay. Go home. I love you.
For a free list of Bible teaching cassettes and books, send your name and address with zip code to David E. Ball Bible School.